Welcome to A State of Mind, a podcast series all about motivating, inspiring, and educating you in the art of selling luxury real estate. This is Tammy Sims, trainer for the Institute for Luxury Home Marketing. In this episode of our Blueprint series, we're continuing on the topic of negotiation, what we refer to as gaining agreement. Building the confidence to successfully negotiate with successful and savvy clientele is critical when working in the upper tier. I can't think of anyone better than my fellow Institute trainer and resident rock star, Kofi Narte, to talk about this topic. Today's podcast is brought to you in part by Real Marketing, the only marketing firm recommended exclusively by the Institute. Real Marketing utilizes over 25 years of expertise, and their products are built and customized for you to dominate any neighborhood anywhere. Go to realmarketingforyou.com. That's realmarketing4you.com. Also, look for past A State of Mind episodes with CEO David Collins as our guest. So today, we're going to focus on step 5 in the Institute's Luxury Marketing Blueprint, building your negotiation tactics. Joining us is Kofi Narte from Los Angeles, California. A leading authority on luxury real estate, Kofi is the go-to broker for celebrities, prominent sports figures, and affluent clientele around the globe. The leader of Global Real Estate and Development, a private real estate firm with billions of dollars in sales, Kofi has more than 18 years of experience representing elite buyers and sellers of distinguished properties. His unique skills in this high-touch niche have made him a sought-after correspondent on luxury real estate for more than 100 national television and print media outlets. He's a regular featured agent on HGTV's Selling LA and has made numerous appearances on Million Dollar Listing. He's also the author of the best-selling book, Celebrity, How to Build a Successful Sports and Entertainment-Based Business. Kofi, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Tammy. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, we're always delighted to get to spend time together. So this is going to be a real treat for both of us and for the audience. So let's give a little bit of an introduction to get started. And I will ask you, Kofi, to tell us a little bit about yourself and your brokerage, your business model.
Definitely. So again, my name is Kofi Narte, founder and CEO of Global Real Estate and Development. I've been in real estate now, actually 20 years. The time just flies. And I've worked with several of the major firms around the country. And then 2.5 years ago, it was time to launch my own firm. And the impetus was wanting to really own more of my narrative and bring more value to our clients, but also to build a firm that focused on servicing more of the real estate portfolios of our clients. You know, we talk a lot about transitioning from being, you know, transactional as agents to being true advisors as agents. And Global Real Estate and Development is really, you know, at the forefront of that, where we help people buy and sell homes, but we also help people invest. We help them develop. We help people with commercial assets, hospitality assets. And we're really just getting started. So excited to see, you know, what's ahead for us and what's ahead for our clients.
I have to say personally that it's been exciting to watch that on social media and certainly interacting with you in person. But seeing that breadth of the services that you're providing and that guidance, the advisor capacity has really been enlightening. Now, a big part of your persona is your story, right? How you got here. So take just a minute for those that aren't familiar to tell us what was your journey to get here and end up as a real estate professional.
So we have 2 to 3 days to record this. Is that what you're telling me?
Sure, you bet.
So how about I make a long story medium? How about that?
All right, fair
but,
enough.
Yeah, so I grew up here. I'm in my office now, actually in Beverly Hills, but I grew up here in Southern California. And went to undergraduate at Berkeley, where I also played football. I had a shot with the Oakland Raiders after that, and now they're in Las Vegas, but got hurt, as many people do. Then I moved back to LA and I got into acting. So I did acting for actually 10 years. You know, it was a fun, very interesting ride. I never made it big, but I made a living. And Had two kids on the SAG insurance, great insurance, by the way, and wanted to really bring my sports and entertainment background to my business world. I'd always been an entrepreneur. I had a friend of mine who was in real estate who said, "I think you would like doing this." And sure enough, I looked at the components of real estate. And I always say, none of us are born to do what we're doing, but if we can apply our gifts to a career choice, and there's more overlap than not, that's when you'll find happiness and that's when you'll find success. So I looked at real estate as that, right? It was a chance to be an entrepreneur, create my own business, to utilize my marketing skills, to utilize my creativity, to utilize my branding skills, and specifically my negotiation skills, all in one place. And so I got into real estate and really never looked back. And, I really built, I think, a large part of sort of my niche in the industry on working with sports and entertainment people, becoming sort of, the preeminent sports and entertainment real estate broker in the country, and really still growing with that as part of my brand.
And I think that everybody should take a step back just a minute and realize that all of us who are real estate professionals, for the most part, come from somewhere else and some other skill sets, some other spheres of influence, and the ability to bring that into our real estate career is just as you said, it's just the perfect combination. So thank you for sharing that, and I'm for one really glad that you landed where you did. So you brought up the point of negotiation, and that's our topic for today. So not too long ago, we actually added an entire module to the Institute's training focused on negotiation, and it was by popular demand. And it seems as though the concept of negotiation is really intimidating to people, particularly real estate professionals. So tell us your thoughts about why that is.
I think most people are just conflict avoidant, and negotiation is synonymous with some sort of conflict, right? And I think that that's why it's super important that we even use the language of agreement and reaching agreement. I think, when anyone has to defend their position or argue on behalf of someone else or try to quote unquote win against an opposing side, there's a little bit of trepidation there of how is this going to be received? Because you're not just working with information, you're not just working with facts, you're working with emotions, you're dealing with people's lives, you're dealing with people's time. And all of those components create a great recipe for fear and resistance to the process. But I think, it's just reframing that as we approach negotiations.
And as you were talking about all the things that we're dealing with, emotions, personalities, that sort of thing, I also was thinking egos, right? Especially
Big
in the
time.
upper tier with the successful individuals, whether they are celebrities or athletes or just successful business people, right? In some cases, it's a there's ego that comes into it. So
And sometimes it's the ego of the other agent or broker, not
you
even the
said
client.
it. You said it. Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the points that we make in the training is reiterating the concept of leave your ego at the door, right? Leave your
Yes.
competitive mind at the door.
Yes.
One of the most important principles of negotiation is to know who you're going to be negotiating with ahead of time. And so what kinds of research do you do? How do you prepare to engage? And we know that it's not just negotiating at a single point, but anytime we enter into a relationship, we're negotiating at every step along the way. So tell us a little bit about how you get ready.
It's a great question. And it's nice that it's something that we cover, right? You as the lead trainer for the Institute, me, doing the trainings that I get a chance to do, but understanding personality types as a preface to going into negotiations. And you may not have full access into who somebody is or how they're wired, but there's a lot of things that become indicators of who they are and how they're wired and how they may respond in certain negotiations. And that ties into even like DISC profiles. We talk about the DISC profile, which is a personality test, and understanding that even certain personalities align with certain professions. So you can kind of reverse engineer it sometimes, where you look at if this person's an accountant or if they deal with numbers or a CPA or what have you, they may be numbers and fact driven. If the person is in a more sort of soft skill space, and they may be more on the feeling side of things, or an interpersonal connection could be of benefit. You know, I even pull a little bit from my acting days, because when I was acting, I had to do character development and character analysis. And it was just as important to read the description of the character as it was to see how other people responded to the character, because that tells you a lot about the type of person that that character is, right? So even the way you can pick up on small cues, even the way the agent talks about how they're interacting with their client. Well, I tried to tell them this, but they weren't too responsive. You might be dealing with a D personality, right? Or they had an emotional response to this, but I think I can talk them down. It might be a high I personality. So think about that, even how other people are engaging with this person as an indicator of what type of personality you might be dealing with.
You know, that's a great point, Kofi. I have a transaction going on right now where I can read the other client through their agent, right?
Yes.
And I can read how challenged the agent is by the
Yes.
personality of their client. So when you said that, I was like, oh, I completely get
Totally.
it.
Totally. And being an experienced agent, and I say this for the experienced agents out there, you're not afraid to help guide that other agent, right? To give them the language, not to step on their toes or to step in front of them, but to give them the language that they need to deal with that client. Because we have the experience, we understand the different personality types, and we also want what they want, and that's for the deal to move forward.
That's right. Absolutely. So, do you ever just flat out Google someone?
100%. Google, and then I go down the rabbit hole. Whatever information's available, I try to do that research. You know, Google will also bring up anything that has strong SEO, search engine optimization. So things like their social media profiles, their LinkedIn profiles, the companies that they work for, people I might know that they know. And again, even as we talk about in the trainings, it's not about cyber stalking where you're going to show up and say, "Hey, I know that you're this person from here, and you know this person, and you voted for this person." No, but it's subtle ways of knowing how to maneuver within the conversation, you know, because part of negotiating and part of reaching that agreement is built on even rapport, and building that rapport and setting the stage for trust in the communication can be done through common threads, and common threads can be unlocked or discovered through that research. So it is important to utilize, you know, the different tools and resources that are available for us.
Absolutely. And of course, the members of the Institute for Luxury Home Marketing have the benefit of being able to use the online wealth lookup through Wealth Engine that goes
Yes.
a little bit deeper. But absolutely, Google is a great spot. Follow those threads and go down those rabbit holes.
Excellent.
It's all incredibly valuable. Now, talking about some of the tough negotiators that you likely have to deal with in particularly in the sports and entertainment area, you're also layering that with having to interact with other players in the transaction. No pun intended there, but agents, managers. How do you approach that, and do you do the same level of preparation to try to understand the personalities of those other players?
Yeah, so really the first thing you have to do is find out who the other players are. And it's one of the questions that we teach the agents to ask, you know, who else will you be consulting with as you're making your decision to buy or sell? Because if you can deal with those people in real time, it's much better than getting far into a deal and then discovering that, oh, they have an attorney that they have to run everything by, or a business manager, or a spouse that you never knew existed, right? So I think that's the first part. The second part is unlocking the motivations of each of those participants or players in the deal, right? So sometimes they're there just to protect the client's financial situation. Sometimes they're there to protect the client legally. Sometimes they're there with no real skill set that they bring to the table, but they want to pretend that they're there to protect in some way.
Right, they
So they
want to
want to make your
improve the
life hard.
deal, right? They want to improve the deal. They want to try to show that they have some value.
Exactly. And half the battle with them is just validating them, you know, validating them, making them feel like, yes, you're doing a great job protecting the client. We're in alignment. You know, I'm also here to protect the client. But if you can find those moments to align with the values of the different players, then you go from resistance to being, you know, synergistic with them, where they know you're on the same page and you're looking out for the same interest that they're looking out for. And your goal at the end of the day is to also make them look good.
Such a great point. So let's talk about professional fee. In our industry, one of the biggest sticking points in a negotiation arena is defending our professional fee, what some of you might be referring to as commission. We like to call that the professional fee. So do you get pushback on your professional fee, and how do those conversations play out?
You know, every one of those conversations, first of all, the answer is yes. You know, we do get pushback. We have the conversation. I would say the conversation happens probably 90% of the time. I think it moves to the level of negotiation only 50% of the time, because usually they're asking just to confirm what your compensation is, your professional fee. And then secondly, if it's answered the right way, they're satisfied with it, right? And so part of it is making sure they understand the value that you're bringing to the table around that professional fee. I have 10 different ways. I'm just making up a number, but it's numerous. There are numerous different ways to establish and explain that value. I reserve them for the ongoing conversation, meaning if they're satisfied with the first answer, then we just move forward. If they still have questions, I go to the second answer, then the third or the fourth, right? Sometimes I'll combine, you know, a couple of them together for a more impactful statement on the value that we bring, the resources that we bring to the table, the reach that we have, the experience, our track record, our outperformance of the market in general on a list to sales price ratio that we beat them every time. So all of these different ways and tools that I have to explain why we are worth what we do, I keep them in my hip pocket and I just keep shooting them. I keep firing them, you know, as necessary. But most people understand value. They understand value when they hear it. They understand value when it's presented to them. And then a huge part of it is unpacking the fee itself, right? So they assume that the entire fee is going to you, which is normally not the case because we have cooperative brokers. We have the broker that's bringing the buyer, I'm sorry. And so part of the fee, half the fee usually is going to that agent. So starting off there, right? So they understand the breakdown of the fee. On top of that, they understand the value that we bring for it. Usually the conversations aren't too difficult to have.
And so what came to my mind when you were talking about the various different dialogues that you have in your hip pocket is the importance of having those ready. And so they're often referred to in our industry as scripts, right? And so especially a agent that's just beginning is handed the book of scripts and say, memorize this. And I know I am one that just has that initial, I hate scripts, right? I hate them. They're canned. It doesn't sound like me. But the more that you use the ones that do resonate, the smoother that flows. And it sounds like that's kind of where you've ended up. And so what would you say about utilizing scripts and that sort of thing for someone to get more comfortable?
Mandatory. There's no choice but to have scripts. There's no choice but to really learn how to handle different objections in multiple ways. And it starts with the script. You know, I I'll come back to my acting days, right? For auditions, you had to learn the script. You had to learn the script. And what was so interesting to me is when I started to book work, when I started to book jobs, once you're on the set filming, you can veer from the script as much as you want, and they encourage it because they want to try lines in different ways. They want to try different responses, different facial expressions, and so forth. But you had to know the basic script before you could veer from it. And I always say you have to know the lines of the box before you can color outside of the box or think outside of the box, right? And you know, we practice these things so that it's almost like muscle memory. You know, you think of elite athletes, you think of even top actors, they practice their lines. Athletes practice their plays. Their plays are like their scripts, and they have to know the basics before they can veer from that. And I was listening to a podcast the other day. I listen to a lot of podcasts. Matter of fact, I have a podcast coming out, Tammy. So you guys will have to check out my full mogul podcast, which I'll tell you a little bit about before we finish. But I was listening to a podcast and they said something that I actually wrote down. And that was, don't practice until you get it right. Practice until you can't get it wrong. And I love that. I thought that was really impactful. And that's what scripts will do for you.
And we actually talk about that in the training is, you know, take a line from professional athletes who are, you know, really successful, you know, goats in whatever their field is, but they continue to practice, right? Practice makes perfect. Practice gives you another opportunity to customize something, right? And your comments about learning the script before you go in for an acting job, and then there's a desire for you to deviate from that. That's what I see as a successful negotiating or path to agreement in our profession is having that groundwork, but then knowing how to react to the moment, to the situation.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious if you can think of one particular negotiating experience or two that really stands out to you that you think back on that you would be willing to share.
Sure. The names will be changed to protect the innocent.
Of course they will.
I'll give two different examples. One was negotiating with an agent that was very emotional and very overreactive to everything. You know, I always say that we are humans as well, but as the professionals in the equation, we have to filter our emotions. And we also have to be filters for the emotions of our clients. But this agent, you know, everything was doomsday. Everything was, this is the end of it. This is terrible. This is crazy. And so, you know, I had to revert to emails versus verbal engagement because we just weren't getting anywhere. And I wrote emails. We talked about earlier, sometimes you have to give agents the right words to say to their clients. I wrote emails that she could literally forward to her clients so that it could be conveyed without the emotional response and the infusion of these emotions. And it made things a lot better. I came to find out that she was the same way with her own clients, or clients ultimately on closing day. They met me at the house to get the keys. She wasn't able to make it, but they were very unhappy with how the process was because she was overly emotional and made it such a roller coaster of a ride throughout. They were appreciative of our written correspondence and so forth. The other one is a client that I had that made the negotiations very difficult. And it's tough when it's your own client making the negotiations difficult, because this was a celebrity client and they marched to the beat of their own drum. And that drum was playing some wild music, I'll tell you that. And so, you know, part of negotiations to me, one of my own little hacks is to always humanize it, right? So if you can bring it back to a human level that people understand, people will even give a little bit more grace for, you know, reactive behavior versus thoughtful responses, right? And so I needed to give them a glimpse into what I was dealing with. This person happened to be on a reality show. So I told them, this Thursday, tune into this network, watch this show. That's the client, right? And you'll understand why we're having some of the communication challenges that we're having. They watch the show, they send me a note back, we totally get it, right?
Wow.
No worries, we'll be patient and work with you through it. And we got through it, but it was helping them. You know, sometimes, again, you hear that saying, don't shoot the messenger, right? Well, sometimes it's okay, right? And be careful with it, but it's okay to say, I am the messenger. Here's where the message is coming from and why, but here's how we're going to get through it, right? And that's what I had to do in that moment.
Wow. What a great example on that one. And I know that everybody who's listening is envying the fact that you had the opportunity to tell those people to go watch your client on TV, right? Because I know all of us have that secret indulgence in the reality shows of some respect, right? And we have our opinions of the characters and that sort of thing. What a fantastic story to be able to share.
That's
you know, I, I also was thinking about the fact that equally as important as understanding personality styles and backgrounds and industry and that sort of thing, that especially when we're talking about negotiation, and I'll use the pure word right now, individuals' cultures can be impactful. I know we tell our members to utilize resources like Kiss, Bow, Shake Hands, or Realtor.com's global resources to learn a little bit more about the negotiation styles and communication styles of people who have different cultural backgrounds. And so has that been something that you've found to be useful as well?
100%. It's I think the first thing to think about going into that is the word grace, right? Because if you give people grace, you give yourself grace, you're also giving yourself a moment to interpret the behavior. And when it comes to different cultures, it can purely be a language barrier. It could be a style of communication. You know, I've talked about traveling in different countries and you're walking down the street and it sounds like people are arguing with each other, but it's just animated conversation. That's actually how they communicate, right? And even in different cultures, the order of things is different, right? In certain cultures, the contract becomes the moment you start negotiating again.
Right.
But that's not how we work here. The contract is what we all abide by, and that's the contract. So I think before we react, there's always that moment of grace that gives us a moment to say, maybe there's a misunderstanding here. Let's find out where the communication has failed or has gone wrong, or there's miscommunication, and it then allows you that patience to deal with it, resolve the situation, minus, you know, the emotional reactions that often get us in trouble.
And that takes me right back to the basic importance of preparation and planning. And part of that is setting expectations, right?
Exactly.
Doing that research, understanding where they might be coming from, understanding what they might be used to, and setting those expectations up front can avoid having to go backwards.
Yes.
So that's definitely a good point. So as we get closer to the end of our time together, I'm going to give you kind of the open floor and just ask, what words of advice would you give to somebody who wants to improve their confidence, whether it's in their negotiation skills or just wants to go to the next level in their real estate profession, no matter what?
Use the resources around you. And that's everything from, you know, the Institute members have the Institute membership. Member resources page. They can read from the blogs. There are books that are out there. You know, Never Split the Difference is a great book on negotiating. Use those resources and study the different ways of negotiating. Study the different languages of negotiating, not literal languages in different countries and languages, but different styles that people use to communicate. Understand people better. I think, you know, knowing the different personality types and being able to quickly recognize what personality type you're dealing with allows you to also navigate better. In general, with real estate and success is really, I mean, that's a huge question. We can do a whole podcast on
Yes.
that alone. But I think that, you know, setting your goals, right? Setting your goals as to where you want to take your career, what you want it to look like, what you want to accomplish, reverse engineering that, but ideally finding mentorship, a group, a team that you can be a part of that will help you get there. Because these are things, you know, this is me speaking from my own experience. And I spent years trying to figure out the business on my own without mentorship, like years, double digit years. And I figured out a lot. So I learned a lot along the way. I failed a lot, as I like to say, you know, fail is an acronym, find all important lessons. So I learned a lot of important lessons. But if you can find the right place to rest your license and be a part of something else where you're getting mentorship, you're getting guidance, you're getting support, but you're also learning from, you know, the people around you and their experience, it's going to accelerate your learning curve and get you to where you want to be faster. And then I guess the last piece of advice would be to also listen to my podcast that's coming up.
Yes, tell us about it.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug. Tell us all about it.
So, you know, I'm launching the Full Mogul podcast. If you go to fullmogul.com, you can sign up to be one of the first to hear it. We'll be releasing it in the next month or so. Super excited about that. But it's really the highest and best pursuit of your fullest potential across all aspects of life, right? Because we think about, you know, being a great business person or being really fit or being a great parent. But a lot of times we don't balance all of that, or we don't find peace in, you know, all of those things. And being full mogul means that you're really addressing all of those things. It's not you're great in business, but you're a terrible parent, or you're great in business and your fitness is terrible. Like, how do you find ways to keep all of that going? And I'll be talking about it on the podcast. I'll have some guests that are talking about it, who are living it, experiencing it. And obviously there'll be a little bit of a real estate slant because real estate's my industry, but we'll be covering a lot of different cool business and life tips to share. So I'm excited about that.
And I just have to say, on a personal level, that I am so grateful that you are so transparent, authentic, generous, and that you are so willing to share in a social media presence, live, giving your time for things like this new podcast, all of the ways that you give back to other people, whether it's your clients or it's your colleagues, our students, as they're seeing us for the first time. I'm humbled to be your colleague and grateful for your generosity. So with that, I am going to wrap us up for today. And Kofi, thank you so very much for being part of the podcast and part of the Institute.
I really appreciate that. And I need 20 more seconds just to thank you for your kind words, because it means a lot to me, because you are also cut from the same cloth. You know, you give and you share, and you share from your experience, you share from your heart. And just the way that you're wired is also an inspiration to me. I'll never forget touching down in Florida for a class, and you sent a gift basket to my room, welcoming me to your city. I those kind of things, that's like so unexpected. And you've always been, you know, a great friend and a great colleague. And I look forward to more of this together. So let's keep
Excellent.
Going.
Gosh, thank you for the kind words. We've got just a little love fest going on here.
Love
apparently,
fest.
So.
Love fest.
All right. So everyone, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Estate of Mind, the Art of Selling Luxury Real Estate. If you're interested in learning more about the Institute, you can find more at luxuryhomemarketing.com. If you like what you just heard, please share with a friend. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast.